We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What a pass. Giddy underneath for JRE. The reverse and the rookie-to-rookie action. Outside the door. He'll get the flyby. Three on the way, and he rattles it in. SGA defended closely by Westbrook. Tough step back. Gets up the shot. Banks it in for the lead.
This is Udort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Sunday, January 16th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day Eve. I am your host, Jacob Niffen. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and SI Thunder. We've got a special guest with me tonight, somebody that you guys have probably seen before, just maybe not on our show. He is from The Athletic / do you consider yourself part of the New York Times now, Andrew?
I definitely do not, but
you're not going to put that on your resume? I think you totally should.
No, maybe soon, but definitely not now. Don't feel like it yet, at least.
He is the host of the Down to Dunk podcast, OKC Dream Team, and The Athletic NBA show, Saturday Slam and Jam. My guy, Andrew Schlecht, making time this evening. Andrew, how are you, man?
I am great. Cannot complain at all.
I love to hear it. Do you have any rooted interest in the NFL playoffs?
Oh, I do not. Not at all. Like zero.
My timeline today has been blowing up with NFL playoff stuff, and I literally do not care.
I'm more interested in the Rockets losing than I am winning than anything else.
Yes. Hey, only one behind the Thunder in the win column.
I know. I like that. I like that a lot more than any Dak Prescott stuff going on.
I am totally with you. So, Andrew, you did an Athletic live show, which is really cool. It's basically what like Locker Room is or was, but on The Athletic. I love that they have that. You guys did one on Friday, and I couldn't help myself. I was at the gym. I was like, damn it, I got to hop up on stage and talk to Andrew and Taylor a little bit. And I brought up a point to you, and I wanted to revisit it here. So we talk a lot about how the Thunder have so many draft picks that they're never going to select, like make a selection with all of those. They proved that to us even this past draft where, they did consolidate two picks in the second round, but then they traded a first rounder to get two more picks down the road. Mm-hmm. But at some point, consolidation has to come. This team has three firsts this coming draft in June, possibly nine first round picks in the following 2 years. You're just never going to roster that many rookies. But I think a thing that we overlook a little bit is you are going to bring in a lot of young guys, and there's going to be turnover on this team. Like the team that we see take the court tomorrow night, Martin Luther King Jr. Day in Dallas, is going to look drastically different in a couple of years. So I started to think, which of these young players are long for this roster, and which of them are just going to get turned over as quick as they come in. And so I figured you and I could do a little bit of a draft. So not including guys like Derek Favors and Kenrich Williams and Mike Muscala, we assume those guys probably aren't going to be around for much longer. But the list I have here are Shea, Josh, Poku, Trey Mann, Darius Bazley, Ty Jerome, Teo Maladone, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Isaiah Roby, Lou Dort, and Andrew Wiggins. So, Andrew, let's go back and forth. You choose a guy. Sorry, say it again. Oh, did I say Andrew? Mm-hmm. I always make that mistake.
Everybody does it. I know.
Let's go back and forth drafting players. We'll go from players that we think are going to be gone, like 100%. That's like draft pick number one. Mm-hmm. And then the final draft pick is the player that we think is going to be here for 10 more years. Okay. So I'll let you kick us off. Which player in this draft would you draft for the Thunder to be getting rid of relatively soon, like the next 2 years?
Yeah, Teo Maladone, easy.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he hadn't gotten any minutes at all this year, and that Trey Mann and Ty Jerome they're in the rotation. You know, Ty Jerome not even all the time, and Ty Jerome's like played pretty well this year. So I think that he's just squeezed out. Like, if they draft a guard this summer, like, you're toast, man. You're done. So I just don't see how they can keep him long term and play him. So I would take Teo number one.
Teo was really high on my list, but I don't know if I had him number one. I think you're right on with that. I think they already have, you just mentioned, so many guards, but I'm interested, Andrew, if I were to have asked you this, let's say 10 months ago, last March, would you have put Teo at number one on this list?
No way, man. There's no way. He's played very poorly this year, and that has not helped. And they tried him at the beginning of the year, and it didn't work out. And I don't know what they'll do with him. I don't know if they'll just waive him. I don't know. But eventually they're going to have, like you said earlier, like there's going to be like actual roster crunch decisions that they're going to have to make with some of these guys. And maybe Teo stays in the NBA. I guess he'll go back to Europe and start his career there, restart his career there, and probably do quite well. So, but the NBA, I don't even know, like, what's Teo's definable NBA skill? Like, he doesn't really have one.
Yeah, totally agree. He plays with zero amount of aggression, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can't think of a time this season where I saw Teo Maladone as a point guard put the ball on the floor and try to get past his man to the basket and, like, score points. Like, it feels like that is, like, very foreign to him. It's very strange, especially if you would have considered this like 10 months ago. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I got pick number two on which player is most likely to be gone in the next couple of years. Andrew, I feel kind of crazy saying this because I've hyped him up so much, but I think I'm going to take Jeremiah Robinson Earl here.
Oh, really? That soon?
Is that insane?
I think it is a little insane, yeah.
I love board, Jeremiah.
What's on the board that I think would go first, but give me your reasoning.
I mean, I'm on record on this show saying he can be your backup big for the next decade. Like, he's like Collison-esque. But looking at the rest of the names on here, does JRE have the lowest ceiling?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Maybe. Oh, well, I guess I am an idiot because I totally looked over that. I had Isaiah Roby on here.
We have Roby there.
Okay. I will eat my crow because I just overlooked the name Roby. JRE is off the board, though. I assume you're taking Roby next.
I'll take Roby. Yeah. I mean, he could be gone in a matter of weeks, honestly. I mean, I just don't. They haven't given him a chance to play, and maybe they would, but, you know, they played Diakite the other night. Over the possibility of playing him. And
does that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, I think they want to get a good look at Diakite. You know, it doesn't, a lot of times who they play doesn't say or mean all that much, especially in a spot like that. So didn't really surprise me. The times that he has, like the most recent time that Roby played was against the Nuggets. And he played for like 2 minutes and was horrible defensively. And Mark was like super pissed and pulled him out and didn't put him back in the game. So I just think he's a guy that Mark won't play unless he has to. And I think that at this point, Mark would rather just try other guys. So I think that he's likely gone, if not during the season at the trade deadline or something like that, or, you know, in the off season. So
definitely. And it's not like you're having to like pay a large amount of money if you want him gone this off season. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if his contract is guaranteed. He got the Lou Dort special. I think it might be like just a partial guarantee.
Yeah.
So it's super easy to move off of. All right. So Isaiah Roby off the board. This next one to me is an interesting one. For my pick, we still have Shea, Josh, Poku, Trey Mann, Darius Bazley, Ty Jerome, Lou Dort, and Andrew Wiggins left.
You said Andrew again.
God dang it, dude. My goodness. Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah.
Whenever you consider contracts in this, I think it gets very interesting, because I think if you just look at the player, I think maybe Aaron Wiggins is next. But Darius Bazley is due. I mean, he's extension eligible this mm-hmm. coming summer. We know from past history that Sam Presti either extends you or he trades you. His players typically don't hit free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this decision really difficult for me. I think I'm going to go Bazley here.
Yeah.
And that's really my argument. It's just the contract. Like, you could bump up Aaron Wiggins again to the Lou Dort special and have him for like a 3-year, like $5 million deal, where I don't really know what Bazley is going to command this summer. I mean, I think it would be like 3 years, like 16, 17 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. Not much more than he's making now. But I feel like you have a longer leash with Aaron.
Yeah. And Aaron's, you know, real coachable. I think he's an easy player to coach for Mark, and he's going to play hard. He's low usage. Now, Bazley still does his little dance after he feels like he's doing what he's supposed to do. He still likes to get those jab steps in and whatnot. So
last night was a perfect example of that.
Yeah. There were some frustrating moments from Bazley last night and some great moments. Like, he mostly was really good last night.
Bazley playing basketball is like me eating chocolate cake. Like, I stick to my diet. I do so good. And then I take a little bite of the cake and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat a slice.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to eat a second. He can't help himself. God bless his soul. He makes a couple of layups. He makes a good pass. And then all of a sudden it's, how many times can I dribble this ball between my legs before I go to the rim without a plan?
Yeah. I would not be shocked to see Darius moved in the coming weeks. Like, I just wouldn't, it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen. Cause he's been moved to the bench. He's been doing what he's supposed to do. And it's just a matter of fact, like, if Clutch doesn't think that he's being put in the right situation, they're going to try to get him somewhere else. And the way that it was dealt with in Atlanta was really loud. You know, nothing is ever dealt with loudly here. Even like Reggie Jackson stuff was not a great situation, but imagine if that were somewhere else, it would have been even crazier than it was here. So, like, who knows? Maybe it was like it's possible that they extend him. Like, that's not an impossible situation, but it's also possible that they're like, hey, listen, we're going to find a home for you if you will just come off the bench, so that we can get other guys some minutes, but we will find somewhere for you. And since then, he's played really well. Like, his stats are really good. Alex Spears put out a tweet yesterday, I think, that kind of outlined how he's played coming off the bench. So, but yeah, I tend to agree that he's like not a long-term piece for this squad. So, yeah.
Yeah, the theoretical ceiling of Darius Bazley, especially after that rookie year in the bubble, and what he's ended up being, is two very different things. It feels very Terrence Ferguson like to me, kind of the trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully he can get it together. I think he's got the NBA body. He's got all the skills. It just may need to develop somewhere else.
I think that's fair. And you know, the hope is that you're bringing in a big wing this draft that would scoot him even farther to the edges. So maybe it is better for him. All right, you're up next on drafting who is most likely to stay around. You have Shea, Josh, Poku, Mann, Jerome, Dort, and Wiggins left.
I'll probably go Ty Jerome next. Just the fact he's 24. He's not a very good athlete. He can shoot it, which is great. His on-off numbers are really good. But, you know, when this team is whole and healthy, he doesn't play. So I will go Ty Jerome next.
I think that's fair. Again, the contract argument, I think, is a big one here. Sure. He's extension eligible this summer as well. I believe he's the same draft as Darius Bazley. Yep. And so you have a quicker decision you have to make. So I definitely would agree with you here. Next one, we're getting down to the tough ones now. I feel like my decision here has to be between Aaron Wiggins and Alexei Pokuševski.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I'm totally going Aaron Wiggins is the next guy on the chopping block. I like Aaron. I think he's a good defender. He's a smart and confident basketball player. I love that he is willing to just cut so often off ball whenever it feels like, God, just in the history of OKC Thunder basketball, there haven't been a lot of guys that play that style that are willing to cut off passers. He does a great job of that. He is a little bit older, but again, he's an easier guy to move off of. I think finding an Aaron Wiggins replacement, like finding a wing in the NBA when they're in such high demand, is difficult.
Yeah.
But if I'm having to find a replacement for Aaron Wiggins or a replacement for Alexei Pokuševski, like there's only one Poku in the entire NBA. You can find a handful of Aarons, but you can only find one Poku.
There's only one Poku in the world, man. That's an interesting dude. Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that, you know, they can find another Wiggins somewhere. But it also wouldn't surprise me to see Wiggins here in 5 years, like working as like a off the bench wing. Mm-hmm. You know? So I know they're really
kind of taking over the Kenrich role in a way.
He could. Yeah, that's not an impossible scenario to see him doing that. Okay, so who's left? Poku, Dort, Shea, Giddey. Is there anybody else?
Shea, Poku, Giddey, Dort, and my guy, Trey Mann.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. Okay, I'll probably say Lou Dort next.
Oh, I kind of thought you were going to do that.
Just because I don't know what decision they're going to make on Lou. Like, I just... My guess is that he'll stay. I know that he's beloved by the coaching staff and by teammates and everybody. So if that has anything to do with it, he'll stay. Like, there's no doubt. Like if there was a vote amongst the Thunder today, like against like Poku or Lou, like Lou would win easy. Like, it'd be a landslide. However, like, Poku's still got time on his rookie scale deal. There's still something tantalizing about Poku and what he can do. And like, I don't know what Lou wants. My guess is that Lou would want to stay and play with these guys, but I don't know. Like, maybe he wants to go do something else, and he's going to have options coming up. So with those options coming up, I'll go with Lou and hedge by saying, I would say like, it's still like 80% chance he's here. After all the contract decisions are made.
I think that's fair. So the Thunder can extend Lou Dort coming up in March for, I think, up to like $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then on July 1st, they have to make a decision, I think, shortly before that. But at the start of the new NBA year, if they want, they can like not pay him his last year, make him a restricted free agent. Or they can play out that last year at a super cheap rate and make him an unrestricted free agent, kind of like Jeremy Grant was. Of those three options, extend him for 12 in March, make him a restricted free agent in July, or play out that final year. Just kind of based off the history of the Thunder, what do you think Sam Presti of those three options would choose?
Oh, I think his preference would be to extend him in March.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy one. Because the number, whether or not you think he's a long-term piece for the Thunder, like you do it anyways, because it's like, that's a very movable contract.
Definitely. So
that's,
I think that's pretty below what his market value will be. Now, I know there's not a lot of teams with cap space this summer, but I mean, I don't know. I've thrown around like 17, 18, 19 million a year if he were to hit the free market.
Yeah. I don't think that's an unfair number. Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. So if you can lock him up for 12, I think that's probably the way to go, right?
Easy. Yeah. It's just, that's the easy one. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Dort is off the board. We have four players left, Andrew: Shea, Josh, Poku, and Trey Mann. Oh, God. I don't know which direction to go here. Yes, you do. Oh, I think I'm going to do it. Yeah. I think I'm going to say the next guy off the board is Alexei Pokuševski.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
I mean,
I don't have any indication that they're going to try to move him or anything, but he just like straight up hasn't been good.
Yeah. As much as I want him to be, you see things that you say, this guy could be something insane.
Yeah.
And then you see things that you just say, holy shit, he should still be over in the Greece G League.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's really no middle ground. And I feel like his best attribute this year has definitely been his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want a lot of good passers on your team, but that becomes a little redundant when you have Josh Giddey on the team. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can't score the basketball, then you can't play in the NBA. Like, plain and simple, especially when that's supposed to be one of the things that he does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he can't figure out a way to score with any sort of efficiency, he will be done after his rookie scale deal, probably.
I would agree. Now, the benefit is he's still super young. So
he is young. He will be young for a much longer time, too. So
yes, he'll always be younger than I am. I'm kind of jealous.
Always.
Surprisingly to me, the last three on the board are Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey, and Trey Mann.
Yeah.
Our guy Trey is climbing to the top, Andrew, but I have a feeling he's about to fall off here.
Yeah, it's Trey. I like Trey a lot. As a player, he's awesome. Like, he's got so many tools, and he is extremely coachable, really, really wants to do what Mark tells him to do, really tries hard to do that. He was not a good defender of Florida. In fact, like, the reason he fell was because, like, he just didn't defend ever at Florida. So the fact that he's done that some at the NBA level is encouraging. Now he's got a ways to go. I mean, I think we see the flashes and we get really excited, but like, he's got a ways to go with consistency. Like, he wasn't very good against the Cavs last night. So we'll see. But partially why I choose him here is that they have a long time before they have to make a decision on him.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a really long runway and he can really shoot the basketball, and they need guys, especially with these top two guys, they need guys that can shoot the basketball. And, you know, that's just a fact. And so the fact that he can do that is very helpful to Trey in staying here long term.
Agreed. I feel like I might be kind of crazy here, but I feel like if something were to give with the Lu Dort situation, like, Trey is probably your starting two on this team. You probably start Shea.
They probably put Aaron as the
That's two, true.
And then find some way, because they really do like him off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, I found that, like, that's what they drafted him for, was to be kind of a microwave guy off the bench. So
he's a really nice kid too. I know you've talked to him a handful of times. I talked to him in his first G League game, and he's very much a kid.
He's a very sweet guy. Yeah. He's very soft spoken. I got to talk to him at Summer League, and he was, he's just real soft spoken. I didn't really know what to think about him, honestly. But I like him. He's very nice. My kids met him a few times. He's been very, very nice every time that I've been around him in any situation. So, yeah, good guy.
Same. Whenever he left G League, like, post-game media, he looked at me. He said, "Hey, you think my defense was nice out there tonight?" I was like, Yes, Trey, I thought you played good defense tonight. Oh, like looking for the affirmation. I love it. Oh, no. I love it.
Oh, no. That's funny.
Down to our last two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew, am I crazy to say Shai goes here and then Josh?
A little bit.
Just because of the contract situation?
A little bit crazy. Just because, like, Shai is still a lot better.
I feel like I'm splitting hairs on this one. I mean, I feel like I'm taking theoretical, like, ceiling and runway versus, like, known quantity.
Yeah.
And Shai is awesome. He's been pretty inefficient this year, at least in comparison to last season. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that. You know, we never know if Josh is going to be able to shoot it. We never know if Josh is going to be able to be that guy that can really, like, you can go to late in the game. And we know Shai is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shai still has 5 years left on his contract. Josh has, what, I guess, like three after this season. Just I feel like, and again, maybe this is total insanity, but I feel like if Presti were to trade one of the two as part of this rebuild, I think he is more committed to his plan of building through the draft and building around young guys than he would be about, like, pushing chips to the middle and going and getting an established star right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they got pushed too far to the middle and he had to get rid of somebody, Shai would be the one and not Josh. Like, that's kind of where my line of thinking is going here, I think.
It's possible. I think that is definitely the way that it's viewed outside looking in. But I just have no indication that they want to do anything but keep Shai here long term.
Yeah.
I think that that's a real thing. I think that if they were going to trade Shai, I think they would have already done it, honestly.
You mean they weren't calling all the teams shopping him last draft?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. I'd like to say I knew that for sure, that they weren't doing that. But I do know that there is a big time commitment from the team for Shai. And Shai feels the same way. Like, Shai is awesome. Like, he has been incredible. And I think that people should be excited because he is like truly bought in on the plan and what it means for his career and for this team and everything. Like, he's totally in on everything. So to me, I still think Shea should be number one just because we forget so easily like what playoff basketball looks like. You put Josh Giddey in a playoff basketball game as the number one guy, like, you're toast. You're absolutely toast. You put Shea in there, like, Shea's going to have a chance to do something. So I think you want that guy. I mean, we see it every year. Like, you need the guy that can ISO score, that whoever gets switched on him, like, they can go get a bucket. Like, that's what you need. And Giddey is good, and he's been really fun, and he's a shiny new toy, but he has a lot to improve on. And maybe he can get there over the next couple of years, but, you know, Shea's already there. You know, Shea can play in the playoffs. Like, you can throw him on any team in the league, and he would start and play for any playoff team. Josh, I think you'd play for a lot of playoff teams. Does he close games? Like, I don't know. Like, what does Josh Giddey look like at the end of a playoff game? He probably is the guy that the other team is targeting on the other end on defense.
That's true.
You know, so we have to figure out what Josh is over the next few years. Like, yes, he's a great passer. Yes, he's a really good rebounder. I love his attitude. I love the direction he's headed in. But, you know, when it comes down to it, like, Shea, you know, he's got it. I fully believe in that with Shea. I've got to go, but thank you for having me on the show.
Andrew, thank you so much. The pod father of OKC Thunder basketball. You're the best. We appreciate you, man.
All right.
See you, dude. All right, shout out to Andrew again for hopping on. My co-host Taylor will be hopping in shortly. Until then, though, let's move on and do a quick, maybe not a quick, because I want to talk a lot about it. Let's do a tank update. I'm trying to find my tank sounder, guys. Is it here? I don't know where it's at. Well, that's definitely not it. Here it is.
Loser! You're a loser!
And that means that the number one pick in the NBA draft goes to...
All right. So the Oklahoma City Thunder tank. Thunder are currently at 14 and 28. This week they did win a game, which didn't help the tank, but they lost a close one to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which in the first half, hopefully you listen to Taylor's post game of that, an incredibly fun game. But the Thunder currently sit in the tank standings at fourth overall. That's the reverse standings. That means they have the fourth best odds. The worrisome thing is that Indiana continues to lose. Indiana has lost three straight. They're at 15 and 28, whereas the Thunder are at 14 and 28. So that standing is very close. As a Thunder fan, we want the Indiana Pacers to put it together. Bad part is they just haven't. And with 3.5 weeks to go until the NBA trade deadline, it's looking more and more like the Pacers are going to be sellers, looking to trade off of a guy like Miles Turner, maybe Caris LeVert. Sounds like their asking price for Domantas Sabonis is too high for other teams to really be interested in. But if they lose some of those guys, I think they objectively get worse. And that is a tank race that I was not prepared for this year, was the Indiana Pacers. Now, the last time we talked, we were also worried about the Portland Trail Blazers in the tank race. They have stepped it up. They are up to tied for ninth at 17 and 25 with the Atlanta Hawks. Three games. Is it three games? Or yeah, it's three full games ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I don't think that the Thunder have to worry about Portland as much now. And then the one positive is that the Houston Rockets, winning again today, are up to 13 and 32. They have four more losses than the Thunder, but only one less win. They're sneaking up on the Thunder in the win column. That is a big positive for OKC in the long term. If OKC can slip down and get in that number three overall spot instead of the number four overall spot, that would be incredible, because I'm pulling it up here now. Give me just a second. If you are in the third slot, the worst you can do is fall to seven, where if you're in fourth, you could slip all the way down to eight. And the less you can slide in the draft, obviously, the better. So climbing up to number three would be good. We also have to check in on some other teams for the tank standings. The Phoenix Suns are, I feel pretty confident that pick's going to be number 30 overall. They're just really freaking good. The Thunder own that pick, so you're going to have a pick at the very end of the first round. That pick is kind of inconsequential. I don't know how impactful that pick is going to be. Maybe you can trade that pick 30, and like the Thunder are going to have pick 35. Maybe you can trade both of those up to get up into like the earlier 20s, because I think in that range of the draft, you're really just dealing with preference. There's not really like a massive tier gap between people taken in the early 20s and people taken at 30. So maybe if there's a guy that the Thunder really like and want to target and can move up, kind of like what they did with Jeremiah Robinson Earl. But then the big one, guys, the Los Angeles Clippers pick. LA has lost two straight, should be three straight, but the Denver Nuggets completely crapped the bed and lost a 20-point second-half lead to the Clippers 3 games ago. The Clippers won that one, but then have lost two since then, which puts them at 15th. That pick would be pick number 15. In order for that pick to drop into the lottery, they would... Oh, actually, I didn't know this. My tankathon just updated, because the Minnesota Timberwolves have won tonight. So that Clippers pick is now currently at 11. So I was mistaken there for just a second. Clippers pick is now at 11th. It is 3 games ahead of Portland and Atlanta. I don't see them slipping down that far anytime soon. Maybe long term if Paul George doesn't come back and Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back. But essentially, the Clippers, the Lakers, and Minnesota are all right there. Minnesota 21 and 22, Lakers 21 and 22, Clippers 21 and 23. So they're all neck and neck vying for that play-in spot. So that's going to be an interesting race between those three teams. Portland getting CJ McCollum back next week. Hopefully that will elevate them and let them win some more games. Maybe Portland can climb ahead of the Clippers pick. But I think the really big thing here, we said it whenever Paul George originally got injured on Christmas Day, and the Adrian Wojnarowski tweet came across. I think it was Bleacher Report reported that some people within the Clippers organization are operating as if the Clippers will not have Paul George back for the rest of the year. This has the possibility to be like monumental, absolutely monumental in the Thunder rebuild. If you can somehow get lottery luck and get that Clippers pick to jump to the top four and the Thunder's pick to end in the top five, I mean, you are kickstarting this rebuild really quickly. Even if that Clippers pick jumps to four and Oklahoma City's pick is like six, could you trade pick six and a handful of picks, or pick six and a player, to jump up to like three and you get to select that three and four? I think back to the Seattle Supersonics. Sorry, I'm starting to get really stuffed up in my nose. So I sound like an idiot. I apologize. If you can jump up there, I think of the Supersonics whenever they drafted Kevin Durant and Jeff Green, both in the top five. That type of thing can really reset a franchise. If the Thunder could get even if it's like a Chet Holmgren and a Jaden Ivey, that completely resets what you're doing, and you kind of have your core moving forward. And if that's the case, I think you're in a really, really good spot. I'm going to mute for just a second so I can blow my nose. I'm sorry, guys. There we go. I sound so much better now. Also, ooh, that pressurized my ears. Wow. Well, Taylor told me he was going to join. And then now Taylor is not joining. So shout out to my co-host, Taylor Peterson. I think that's all for the tank update. Last thing I wanted to touch on, because we had a pod for you guys Saturday night. We're going to have another one for you guys. Oh, hey, look who it is.
We're here.
The one and only Taylor Peterson. Taylor, you missed the tank talk.
Tank talk.
I'm so sorry.
That's my favorite part. It's okay. It's my fault.
hey, I just mentioned it here. I went solo for a little bit in between having the great Andrew Schlecht with us and then you hopping on. I went solo there for about 5 or 6 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
And in that time, my tankathon updated. The Clippers pick is down to 11 again as the Minnesota Timberwolves won tonight.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wait, no, they as the Timberwolves won tonight. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thought you were going to say because the Clippers won tonight.
No, Clippers play tomorrow along with Oklahoma City.
Good, 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 good.
Also, I sound incredibly stuffy, and I sound like an idiot, so apologies.
Are you okay?
I just have a lot of sinus congestion. Okay, yeah, I've taken three COVID tests in 3 days.
More than that, in like 2 weeks.
I've gotten like 7 in the past 2 weeks.
Crazy. I'm glad you're okay, though.
That's I'm negative. Good. I just have a lot of snot.
Hey, COVID has come for the uncontested guys. Kind of crazy. Yeah. We got 2 out right now in COVID protocols.
Yep. It's very unfortunate. Hopefully they'll be all right.
Yes.
I think they will be. They're hanging good. In. So Taylor, last segment of the show. I got this idea from the Cleveland game, which you did a wonderful post-game pod over.
Thank you. Thank you.
But in watching that game, it made me start to think about what is the next piece that this Oklahoma City Thunder team needs to make the next jump. Obviously, you
did
and I wanted to meet Jabari Smith Jr.
Inspire you?
Yes. I mean, I was thinking about this during the game because
I
was watching.
You. In that segment.
I was watching Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen catch lob after lob after lob.
Yep.
And I started to think, when's the last time I saw a Thunder center dunk the basketball?
Fantastic.
When's the last time I saw the Thunder have a vertical floor spacer that you could just run pick and roll and lob something to the rim and they would go get it? Like Russ and Steven Adams.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Bazley's not really a center.
Yeah.
He isn't really
and with how much attention Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets every time he's got the ball in his hand and he takes a dribble inside the three-point line, and with how adept of a passer Josh Giddey is, shooting, I think, is the number one need for this team. But I'm interested to hear what you know. What do you think is more needed for the Thunder? A guy that can space the floor and shoot, or a big man, a la a Jarrett Allen, Evan Mobley, maybe it's a Chet Holmgren in this next draft, but somebody that will alleviate the pressure off Shai and Giddey pick and rolls.
So maybe this is cheating, but I do kind of think it's the right answer. And I think the way that Pressey has built and constructed this team and the way he's looking at this team moving forward, I don't think it really matters, because I think he's going to be able to bring in either of those. And then at that point, so the example I used last night was just, again, easy, low hanging fruit. It's a post game podcast. So first thing that comes off the top of my head, let's say you draft Jabari Smith Jr., right? Pipe dream. We're all hoping for that. We'll see if it actually happens, but you draft Jabari Smith, you have that shooter potentially. And assuming that he pans out early on as much as you hope that he does, then that gives you the luxury of pushing your chips into, you know, the middle of the table, for lack of a better comparison there, analogy there. And you can go and try and get your Jared Allen piece to use the Cleveland Cavaliers as an example. You can get that rim running big. Or shoot, if the Clippers pick turns out to be as good as we're hoping it is, maybe you end up drafting a Jabari Smith-like player, aka a shooter, and you're able to get it like a Jalen Duren with that Clippers pick, and you have your rim running big alongside a shooter. But my point is, I think you have the luxury right now of kind of this – it's not as much of a blank canvas as it was maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, but you still have the luxury of being able to take the best pick, you know, kind of roll with the punches, right? That depending on where you land in this upcoming draft, pick the best available pick that fits best with your team that you're most excited about, best available player. And then you can use some of these other assets to finally start cashing in and bring in, like you said, a shooter and a rim running big, I think are probably the two biggest needs. So to your point.
A rim running big would excite me a lot. I'm interested to see kind of what direction they go next year, the year after that, because they've proven this year that they really like bigs that space the floor. They like a Mike Muscala. They like a Jeremiah Robinson Earl. They like guys that can pop out and create a little more, I guess, negative gravity for those guards driving to the basket. I'm interested to see if they target a rim running big or if they target a spacing floor spacing big. I mean, ideally you get
one
a guy that can do both. Right? You get like a Jaren Jackson Jr., a Karl Anthony Towns. Like there's only one Karl Anthony Towns, but you get a guy that can do a little bit of both and can really mix it up for you. But it's just these interesting questions I have about how Presti wants to build this puzzle out. I feel like you for sure already have two pieces to that puzzle. And then what you build out from there is going to be, I think, infinitely fascinating.
Right.
I still think a 3/4, a big wing who can shoot is the number one need on this team. But I think very quickly after that, you're looking at a big man that can anchor your defense, that can be a release valve on offense. And I don't know, Taylor, the more I think about the way Presti has started to put this team together, it's a lot of high IQ, high feel type of guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a big that maybe is less of an alley-oop playing at 12 feet big and more of a, I can catch in the short roll and swing it to the corners. I can pop out and shoot a three. I can face up and hit a little mid-range J type of player.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I found it interesting, one, that this is all centered around Muscala and his role last night. Doesn't play in the entire first half, starts the second half, and Daigneault said that was predetermined. They talked about it in shoot around. And then he also mentioned a very interesting tidbit that apparently Muscala has been battling a bit of an ankle injury throughout the season. And I'm not sure if that's like, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure he has been battling a bit of an ankle injury. But I'm not sure if he mentions it there to be like, you know, almost give them an excuse as to why they aren't playing it more with that starting five, because he fits so well, to your point.
Mike Muscala, DMP ankle. Now we have justification for it.
Right, right. Or even just like, this is why we aren't playing him as much as we could be with these starters. Or if like he maybe really is battling a pretty severe ankle injury and it's kind of trying to tough through it throughout the rest of the season. And maybe we'll have some sort of procedure in the offseason. But to your point, yeah, I just, Muscala has been the big that fits the best with that starting five. That's when they are at the best. Speaking of Andrew Schleck, who you had on earlier, he had some pretty interesting stats. I don't have them saved or anything, but he tweeted them out earlier of the plus minus when Muscala is on the floor with Shea and Giddey compared to when he's not. And there haven't been very many minutes or interest. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting. Hasn't been a ton of minutes or instances where they have been playing together. And they don't kind of explain that with, well, because he's battling an ankle injury. So all that to say, I am curious to see, to your point, maybe the Thunder and Presti are more interested in that kind of big rather than a rim runner lob threat. But to your point, like especially watching Garland last night, like how fun would it be for Giddey or Shea to have a lob threat big like that, like a Mobley or Jaren Allen?
Totally agree. And I said this back in September. I've said it multiple times since then. I'm going to say it here right now. The type of player that Sam Presti has targeted the past few years, the direction of the franchise, I just feel like Chet Holmgren is his guy in this draft.
I've been thinking that, and that's funny you mentioned that. We've had very similar don't know. I think we had similar thoughts watching that game last night. Because, you know, I kind of had that segment last night at post game. You tweeted some similar thoughts out. And it's not just us. John Hamm had a pretty similar tweet as well that I mentioned in my post game last night also. But I also had that exact same thought. And I have not just last night, throughout really the past couple weeks, because you've been talking about Chet. And you know, I know you, myself, Nick, we all love Jabari Smith Jr. But if the Thunder were to get the number one overall pick, it just seems like such a presty thing, the direction that he's headed with this team to draft a Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. I think Jabari Smith is the better prospect. And if they landed at number one, I would want them to take Jabari. But if they got number two,
yeah,
and Jabari went number one, I think it's Chet running away.
Yeah. I find this interesting. I both of us have listened to this podcast, as you mentioned it, and I had listened to it also. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic with Matt Penny. They did a, and you know, they call it like the way too early 2022 mock draft, which was fantastic. They did a really good job. But I found it interesting listening to them talk about guys like Chet versus Jabari, right? And wait, I kind of lost my train of thought there. What was the comment that you made?
Just that I think that they would draft Chet number two overall if Jabari went number one, for sure. But no, I think where you're going with that, they talked a lot about how Chet Holmgren obviously has to put on weight, but he's a dog. He's willing to fight. He's very clearly been willing to take an offensive back seat to Drew Timmy on that Gonzaga team this year. He's still averaging like what, like 14.7 rebounds, yes, and like 3 or 4 blocks a game.
Now, granted, the
weight issue is an issue. I mean, he's going to get put underneath the basket by guys like Jokic and Embiid, but he's also going to defend the shit out of a lot of people. And offensively, I think whenever he gets in an NBA system where it's much more open, you're going to see a little more of his dribble game, his pull up three game.
We saw it when he was playing AAU.
Exactly.
In grassroots,
and playing Team USA basketball.
Right. And I remember where I was going with that, listening to their podcast. I really liked the point. I believe it was Penny. It might have been Sam, but I thought it was Penny that made this point. And Jakey, you might remember this as well. Jabari Smith is such an interesting prospect because he already has a high floor. A high floor, but also still presents a high ceiling. You know, typically, I think of a guy like, to use this last draft as an example, Chris Duarte, the Indiana Pacers, high floor, low ceiling kind of guy is the way we all kind of viewed him, where they describe Jabari as like high floor, but also might have a high ceiling, where Holmgren is very much a, I don't know if you say super low ceiling. His ceiling may be a little higher than, like, for example, Poku's, but it's much lower than Jabari Smith Jr.'s at this point.
I feel like that's fair.
But also maybe has a higher ceiling than Jabari Smith Jr. And to your, just like listening to that and thinking of Pressey, the direction he's building this team, I'm with you. It would not surprise me to see Chet be the Thunder's pick if they do have the luxury of picking the top three.
I say you just go get pick 1 and 2 and get Jabari in.
Yeah, that's right. Get them both. Why not both?
Just call it a day.
Why not both?
Awesome. Taylor, do you have anything else? I think it's about time that we get out of here. I'm sure people don't want to listen to my nasaliness anymore.
Just that I thought it was a really good week of Thunder basketball. Really good play overall. It was great to see the offense kind of, you know, no pun intended, rebound there this past week. And I think largely
it was fun basketball this week.
Very much so.
High scoring.
It's no coincidence, I think, that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander kind of turned it around. And we saw the team turn it around as well. So very busy week coming up, Jacob. 4 games on the docket. We have the Mavericks, then the Spurs, then one other team. And-